Well, it is time for you to grab your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up the radio and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. You know that when you hear that old school bell ring. And what we're studying in this Bible school right now is the time when the kingdom of Israel divided northern tribes under King Jeroboam and the southern tribes under King Rehoboam. And to guide us through this period of Israel's history, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 18th, 1927. So, in just a moment, that's where the attention of our class will go. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's turn our attention to the notes old Brother Elam prepared for us as we study this part of Israel's history. The people were oppressed by the grievous service and were restless under the heavy yoke placed upon them by Solomon. They were greatly taxed and forced to labor, just as God has told them that they would be in 1 Samuel 8 when they first desired a king. When Solomon died, his son came to the throne. The people met Rehoboam at Shechem to make him king, but not without first making the following request. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father in his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. 1 Kings 12:1-4. Rehoboam should have readily granted this request, but he begged 3 days for consideration, saying, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And that's what the people did. Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to the people? Well, this was a wise course, if he had only acted upon the counsel that was given. Had he followed his father's example and sought counsel of God and prayed for wisdom, it would have been still better and safer for him. But he turned from him from whom alone he could receive perfect wisdom and guidance. The old men gave him safe and wise counsel. It is said, old men for counsel. They advised him to lift the burdens of the people and be lenient and generous, saying to him, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. The king should serve the people and seek their peace and their greatest good. But this course did not suit the young king. So he turned away from the safe advice of the old men and sought the counsel of the young men that were grown up with him and that stood before him. These young men were his associates. It was the custom of different countries to educate the heir to the throne with young noblemen of nearly the same age. They stimulated him to greater efforts and in every way gave him a knowledge of men. These young men gave Rehoboam the following dangerous advice. Thus shalt thou say unto this people, My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father's chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Well, let's look at the notes we have for our lesson text. I'm going to read now 1 Kings 12, verses 12 through 15. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king bade, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and spake after the counsel of the young man, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." So the king hearkened not unto the people, for it was a thing brought about by Jehovah, that he might establish his word which Jehovah spake by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. After kindly, patiently, and prudently waiting the 3 days for Rehoboam to take counsel and consider what reply to make, the people came to hear upon what principles he proposed to serve them as king. And they met at Shechem. By a prudent and wise course, the young king could have preserved the unity and peace of his kingdom and won respect and affection of all his subjects, but he answered them roughly and forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him. We should learn from this that rough language and harsh means are signs of weakness and not strength, of cowardice and not courage, and of foolishness and not wisdom. The king accepted the counsel of the young men, which seemed to him, in his weakness and vanity, the only way to put down the threatening rebellion. He spoke to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will yet add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions." The burdens of taxation and labor which he would place upon them would be as much greater than those of his father as the loins are thicker than his little finger. 1 Kings 12 and verse 10. It is said that the scorpion was a severe whip, the lashes of which were armed with iron points that sunk into and tore the flesh. The rebellious would thus be chastised as slaves. Rehoboam's chastisement would be as the sting of scorpions compared to his father's whips. So the king hearkened not unto the people, that is, to make the yoke easier and the burden lighter. For it was a thing brought about of Jehovah, that he might establish his word which Jehovah spake by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And so we have sin, and we have division. See, in this way God fulfilled that which God said he would do. Solomon, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and the people were responsible for their conduct. And this division was a result of Solomon's sins in opposition of the people and the impertinence, rashness, and vanity of Rehoboam. God at first warned the people against having a king and clearly pointed out the oppression and suffering to which it would lead. Under Solomon, the people experienced this, and under Rehoboam, they revolted. Solomon's great sins led to this result. He loved many foreign women, the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites of the nations concerning which Jehovah had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. He turned after other gods, the gods of his wives, and built altars and erected temples for their worship and spread idolatry throughout his kingdom. For this reason, Jehovah was angry with Solomon and said he would take the kingdom from him and give it to his servant. "Notwithstanding," said Jehovah, "in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, for my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. While then this was a thing brought about by Jehovah, it came as a severe consequence of sin, cruelty, and oppression. God did not thus bring about this division for division's sake. He teaches unity and peace, yet he overrules factions, divisions, and the wicked for the good of his people and to his own glory. He makes the wrath of men to praise him, Psalms 76 and verse 10. Religious divisions and strife are today carnal. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, and 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Denominationalism and factions in the church are mightily opposed to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, which we read about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And woe is unto him who causes factions and divisions contrary to the doctrines of Christ, Romans 16, 17, and 18. Yet God overrules all this for the good of his people. By all this their faith is tested, and they are approved as loyal to him. This is the crucible in which the dross is consumed and the gold is refined. For there must also be factions among you, as they that are approved may be made manifest among you. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. The religious divisions and denominations of the world today are the consequences of disobedience to God and rebellion against his will. And yet, he overrules them to his own glory and for test another good of his children. Well, the people rebelled from under Rehoboam. We read in 1 Kings 12, verses 16 through 19. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see thine own house, David." So Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the men subject to the task work, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot and flee to Jerusalem. And so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. The people were determined on the course they were pursue, and as soon as they saw Rehoboam would not grant their most reasonable request, they gave the signal for revolt. "What portion have we in David? Neither have we any inheritance in the son of Jesse." See, Rehoboam was David's grandson and a descendant of Jesse. David was first made king over Israel. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was made king over all Israel. But after 7 years and 6 months, David was made king over all of Israel and Judah. And he then made Jerusalem the seat of government. There existed all along the 10 tribes, this fleeing against Judah, which was frequently manifested. Benjamin was embraced in the kingdom of Judah. "To your tents, O Israel!" meant for them to leave Rehoboam as their king and go home and prepare for the consequences. In our language, this would mean to arms. Now, "see to thine own house, David," means that Judah was all that was left to Rehoboam, and he must prepare to take care of that. So Israel departed to their tents, and they went home and began to prepare to take care of themselves, according to the promise of God for David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, and that David might always have a lamb before Jehovah. The 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remain with Rehoboam, but the northern tribes rebelled against him.